got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We are also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Good morning, everybody. I am James Hake filling in for Jesse Lee Peterson this morning here. And JLP will be out today, as will the Anchor Baby. But I am here hosting, guest hosting for Bible Thumper Thursday. It is the 13th of November, 2025 AD, and we're going to have a fun show. You can call in at 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, and you can super chat by going to buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP on Cash App. And of course, you're welcome. We will be reading your super chats from D Live, from YouTube, Rumble, as we see them, guys, or as we take breaks when we see them. Thank you, guys, for the support. And if you're just wanting to listen to the show and you don't have much internet or whatever, you can be calling the listen line at 605-615-4131, I believe. I think that's what it is. You can go to jesseleepeterson.com/show in order to confirm that number, all right? And like I said, we will be taking your calls. We'll be reading your super chats. And we have some great stories and some Bible thumping to do. Today is Thursday already. Can you believe it? And tomorrow, JLP ought to be back for Get It Off Your Chest Friday. Yesterday, we had Black Excellence Wednesday for 2 hours before we had Manhood Hour in the third hour of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show yesterday. And now it is, I don't know if you know how to do this, Bill, Bible Thumper Thursday. Nice. I see that thing. I see it's getting ready.
You can see it's getting ready?
We don't have American Anchor Baby, who normally mans the board. We had Bill get up extra early so that he could fill in for Anchor Baby on Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Turn around, look at these people. What?
From the Lord. I got what I wanted from the Lord. I'll go back to Washington. Oh, yes, I will. I'm a Southern Baptist. They don't believe in tongues, but God said it. I want it.
Oh man. Bible Thumper Thursday. Shout out to the tongue talking people. Very nice. All right. So 888-77-JESSE, 1-888-775-3773. Before I get to your calls, I'm guest hosting for JLP, James Hake, one of the hosts on his network, as most of you know. I'd like to get to a little Bible thumping for you guys. This passage, brought to us by none other than Derek, the producer of the J.C. Lee Peterson Show, comes from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, and 11, actually. How to know, says Derek, you're going to heaven. It reads, and this is from the King James Version, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, sex out of wedlock, nor idolaters, worshiping women and false gods, or worshiping guys and false gods, or whatever, self, nor adulterers, nor adulterers or cheaters, cheating on the wife or husband, nor effeminate, you know, guys or girly, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Take that how you will. I don't know how the Old English really translates, but that's interesting. Nor thieves, nor covetous. You want something that the rich people have or whatever. Nor drunkards, nor revilers. I like revilers. That's some of you guys who slander people, attack, talk all kinds of trash about people. Extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So that's 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. And 11 reads, and such were some of you, but you are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And, is there a photo of that? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Nice. We have the picture of that? Are you saying that we have the picture of that, Derek? Maybe not. But that's all right. Well, the thing I like about this passage is that it reminds me of a lot of what JLP talks about. When you identify with all that stuff, that's what makes you get into that stuff. When you stop identifying with that stuff, it makes you stop doing that stuff. And you recognize, I don't know, it's like it's that new man, that new creation that he's always talking about, that JLP is always talking about. I think it's so nice. Very cool. They say, oh, it seems impossible to break all of those things. You can break some of those things. All these born-again people said, oh, I quit drinking. But they still are revilers. So, nice. They're still angry. They're still murderers. They're still fornicators, in their minds at least. So, that's pretty cool. Shout out to Paul. That was from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Check out Church with J.C. Lee Peterson, rebuildingtheman.com/church. I'm tempted to bring in Derek on this, but we are taking your calls. I forgot. I neglected to read the biblical question for you guys. We will be accepting the biblical question answers here on the J.C. Lee Peterson Show. And the biblical question is something that you can play there, Bill, in the hyperdeck, I think. How do you know when you are approaching Christ? How do you know when you are approaching Christ? Kind of links up with that, how to know you're going to heaven, that Derek gave us from the 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Tempting. Maybe in the coming hours I will bring Derek, the producer, in to discuss. Because I like this. Okay. So are you able to find that biblical question there? No. No, okay. Well, I want to get to some of your calls. You can call in 1-888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Very cool. Scary, huh? Scary. You scared? Let's get to Stetson out of Washington State here. Stetson, you are on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, guest hosted by Hake. What's up, man? Thanks for calling and holding.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I called in a couple months ago. I went to a discipleship training school, and it was an eye-opener just to hear a different perspective of it. And going through this time, a lot of like your callers and listeners and everybody, I've been experiencing a lot of the same things and breaking through a lot and just sitting in the hell and the mess that you're in. And one thing I've noticed a lot with preachers that I follow and I listen to, and they say a good message, but something that's so much different from what Jesse says is just to have peace and surrender. And I've noticed a lot of pastors today, they get up on the pulpit and they say that we need to go out and we need to fight the enemy. We need to go out there and protect and fight and do this. And especially you as men need to go out there and fight. And I've done that, and I've fought whatever imaginary thing that there is, and it's exhausting because it's a fight that you'll never win is what I'm realizing now. And I've just noticed that and just been going through some of this experience. It's just like, no, actually, you need to surrender. And like that's just something I've noticed a lot with like preachers that are just like, you need to go out there and fight, and you as men need to go out there and do this. But when we do that, it's almost like contradicting to what the Bible says to do, is to lay down your arms and give up. So I've just noticed that's something that I've noticed, and I'm wanted to get like a different take how is that like the contradictory of today. Have you noticed that the same thing?
What do you mean by giving up?
Like when you're like, you need to like fight the enemy, like fight to overcome like the evil spirit that's like against you, that is trying to make you do something. You need to fight against it versus how it just feels like with Jesse's aspect, like you just need to surrender to whatever it is, to God, versus trying to fight the enemy. That's, I guess, like where I'm seeing this as is, like they're saying that you need to go out and fight the enemy that's out there that are doing these type of things, that are trying to take your family, trying to take your kids, trying to corrupt your mind. And it just feels like the best alternative, what I have experienced, is that you just need to release all of that, because none of this actually exists. They're all just, it's hitting that false self. So they're just attacking your false self. So when you're fighting, you're almost like fighting with your false self against an imaginary army. And that's just kind of how I'm seeing this, like where I'm at in my life and through this progression and hearing what these preachers say up on their pulpit. I'm like, I don't know if this is the right message we should be like, I don't know, who am I to say this, but it's like, you guys are saying like to fight and to get in the battle. And I'm like, God already said that the battle is won and we just need to enjoy it. And that's just like where I'm coming from and how I'm seeing a lot of pastors up on the pulpit. And
what are the pastors saying? Are they talking about fighting in politics or fighting against their temptations, or what are they fighting?
Yes, fighting against politics, against ideology, praying against stuff. You need to pray against these type of people. Don't allow this to – you need to fight against what they're trying to do in the schools or they're trying to do in the churches or whatnot. But it just feels as if when you're fighting it as a person, like you're not going to win, because you're fighting against the enemy and you're fighting against – devil, Satan, whatever you want to call it, and we will never win, like we as humans. So it's almost like they're portraying like a wrong message. It's like you need to go out there and fight versus like you need to surrender to God's will or however that is versus going out and fighting. It's something that I've like, as I've tried to fight, like you're going to fight as much as you can and it is going to be exhausting and it is going to tire you out versus just surrendering and accepting whatever it is in life that you're at or the message that you need to receive from God, but going out and trying to fight against an enemy. And I'm like, I don't know what you're trying to tell me to go fight. Like, there's nothing there to fight. Like, I can't go, I'm not going to physically go out and fight somebody for their ideologies. Like, praying against it is not, that's not going to work because they're not going to accept that coming from a believer or whatnot. And it's just better just to be like, just to release it and just be like, I don't even want to deal with this anymore. Or like, you've like fighting for relationships or fighting for like a marriage, like you got to fight for this. And like, it feels like this should almost come more natural than anything. And trying to fight for all of these things, what they're trying to say in the church. And they're like, you need to fight for this and fight for your family. It's like,
I got you. You might be right there, Stetson. A lot of times people get into their imaginations and come up with a false solution in their fighting. So they fight out of something that comes from their idea of how to fight when they don't actually know how to fight.
Exactly. Yeah. That's like, I don't know how to fight. And I'm realizing that like, I don't know anything. And I thought I was an adult, but apparently the older I get, the more I realize how less of an adult than I am, and all the other adults around me don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah.
So like when they're saying like, you need to go out and fight this, like, do you know what you're actually asking your congregation to do? Like because some of them are not going to be able to do this and they're going to take this the wrong way. And I've seen people do that. I mean, like we've all seen misinterpretations of the Bible.
So you're going and telling these people this, or we are just pondering these things?
No, I'm just noticing.
Okay.
I'm just sitting back and noticing it. I'm just like, okay. I'm like, well, I'll take parts of it in and then I'll release it. But I've just listened to multiple pastors and preachers across different areas of the spectrum. Like I've gone into church, I've listened to them online, and they all say the same thing.
What's making you go and listen to all these other pastors and things?
Oh, just like just to listen to different messages, just while I'm killing time, whatnot, just to like, okay, well, what does this pastor have to say about this? What does this pastor have to say? And in different areas of the country with the different...
What's making you choose that to kill your time?
To listen to pastors and messages?
Yeah.
It just comes through, it's just the algorithm on my YouTube feed right now.
Oh, okay.
So I just picked the first one. It's either going to be that or techno dubstep, and that's not...
Interesting. And do you ever kill time just with quiet or silence?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and that's what I've done a lot now, and I've gotten really good at it. And it is very, like, sitting in peace, because I remember Jesse said to go eat cornbread, drink water, and I...
You didn't say
I ate banana bread and drank water and sat in myself and in peace and quiet where I'm at. And it is an amazing feeling when you get to that state and you're just like, oh, I can sit here and in peace and quiet. And just like your thoughts are just completely like when you get to that state, they just go right in front of you and you don't hold on or grasp on anything. But then, like, yeah, sometimes when I'm moving around, it's like, okay, I'll listen to something on a Sunday, like a sermon on a Sunday. And I just hear, that's just kind of what I hear.
Okay.
And it's just, it's just like, well, and versus this aspect of,
I got
of what Jesse's saying.
I got you, man.
Release. So I just thought that was, very interesting.
Thank you, Stetson. I appreciate it, man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Take care, man.
All right, bye.
Bye. Alex in Pittsburgh, PA. Alex, you are on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, guest hosted by Hake. What's up, man?
Hey, first and foremost, thanks for taking my call, Hake. And I've been a newest listener to your show for the past year. I've been listening to Jesse for the past few years. I only called into his show once, this is the first time I'm talking to you, and I just want to let you know that you've been doing an excellent, superb job of filling in, and I love your show. The callers you get are always fun. Even the haters, you know, Ronnie always not taking a position, and, you know, William's always a great caller out there in California, but I think what you guys are doing, Jesse and you especially, it's just common sense, and it's the best morning show. I love tuning in, hearing the news. Shout out to Derek and Nick,
yeah,
and Bill and everybody else. But it's just common sense interspersed with just the Ten Commandments and everything that's God. And I think it's just fun. You guys make it fun, and I'm always kind of reminding myself of what Jesse's principles are, just like the previous callers said. We don't need to be fighting these people. Just lay down your weapon, go about our business, and drive for perfect peace. That's it right there.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate the feedback, sir.
Yeah. I'm one of these days I'm going to call into your show, but I love both your shows. I tune into the Anchor Babies here and there. I'm a working class guy, so I don't get to call in too much. I'm on the road to Nashville on a little vacation, but I'm always listening, but keep up the great work. You guys are doing God's work.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
I want to show you an example, perhaps, of that fighting. This might work. This will hopefully work. So over on I don't know where this took place, but Lindell TV sent one of their Christian ladies out, a reporter woman out. And this woman says, the cross is offensive. An unhinged woman melting down outside the White House. So this is in D.C., the swamp itself. Lindell TV says on X, Lindell, I believe that's Mike Lindell, the guy from MyPillow. He started different things, different media things. So they have a reporter, and our reporter, says Lindell TV, asked a respectful question, political question, about the government shutdown and SNAP benefits, SNAP being the food stamps. Instead of answering, the woman locked eyes with our cross necklace. I guess they have a cross necklace, and in particular, this reporter did, and launched into a full-blown anti-Christian tirade in the capital of the United States of America. It's about a one-minute clip from X. You ever able to play that clip 13-1 there, Bill? The engineer filling in for the American anchor baby. It should be clip something, 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 one. You might have to refresh it, actually. We might have to come back to this one. Derek, the producer, are you able to come in and talk about this passage? Yeah. People are psycho, and especially in Washington, D.C. I'm not surprised to hear about this incident. Not all that surprised to hear about this incident where a woman screeching about Christianity. It is a little odd. It is a little extreme. But kind of like the caller Stetson talked about, there's all these women who are fighting over politics, and it's so unnecessary. And religion, too, by the way. And it's unnecessary. It's only causing more problems. There's some infighting going on in the so-called conservative world. America, what's America first? Stuff like that. You think you can play it? And, okay, let's check this out. Let's check this out. Maybe.
I hear that you're probably a very, very pro-Trumper.
From how could you tell? From
the Christian nationalist stuff going on.
Why is it a Christian? Are you a Christian?
I sure am a Christian.
Why does the cross mean Christian nationalist?
When you're using it from a news perspective, I would say that you are very much looking to have Christianity infiltrated into every aspect of
politics. As if that's an offensive thing. And it's not about politics, but and it truly offends me now that you're saying that it's offensive
to be Christian. Christian name in honor of a man who would rather separate women and children.
Do you believe a cross is offensive on a mic flag?
I didn't say the cross was offensive. The cross is offensive. The Bible says that it's offensive, correct?
Okay, so the cross is offensive. So is Christianity offensive?
It can be if you're going to force it down people's throats.
I'm not forcing it down your throat. You could be a Muslim. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. You're Jewish.
Wow. And the woman says that she's Christian herself. I don't know if that reporter should have been saying, oh, now I'm offended. What a mess. Ladies, you want to come in here, Derek? I don't know if they should be interviewing people and activist type stuff and all that. Yeah, camera four allows him to cross the path. I'm offended now. The cross is offensive. She's justifying being offended when she's a Christian herself. That's insane. These ladies. Derek, the producer, is here. I've turned that thing on, I think. I think it turned on automatically. Derek, the producer, is here.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Oh, here. Now you should be good.
Okay, nice. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Nice. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
The volume's good today.
It is.
But Bible Thumper Thursday, where'd you want to start? Corinthians?
No, actually, I want to deal with what we just watched.
Okay.
These ladies outside the White House, who was right and who was wrong?
Well, it was interesting because that liberal woman, she was talking about the cross being offensive, and I'm not sure if she was liberal, but she was talking about the cross being offensive. I don't know what verse she's referring to as far as the cross being offensive. I guess
I've heard of it, though.
Yeah, if I was to do some type of if I was to empathize with her, I guess what the cross represents, death, but it's sanctification. That's what it really represents. So yeah, and I mean, I don't even want to try to entertain what she's thinking, but the point is that the cross is a beautiful thing, and without it, you know, you and I wouldn't even be going to heaven. So, you know, this whole idea that this woman is trying to spew is sick.
Is the reporter right?
Oh, is the reporter right for how she
handled it?
I didn't see, you know, what they were talking about before this clip, but I don't know if she's right. I didn't sense anything as far as her being like pushy or aggressive. I didn't sense anything like that. I don't know if you guys did.
When she said, now I'm offended.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you offended for? You're mad because somebody's mad that you're wearing a cross and calling you a Christian nationalist because you're having you have a cross and you're a news reporter woman. It doesn't make sense to me that I think these are two offended women being snappy at each other.
That's true.
One is being obviously insane and reasonable.
Yeah.
This Christian nationalist smear. We are a Christian nation.
We are.
Like, what's wrong with that? I mean, hello. That's why it's so good. That's why it's so free.
Yeah.
Too free.
That's true.
We'll get to the Corinthians thing after this.
Yeah, I hear the music.
888-77-JESSE, 888-775-3773. Back in a moment.
I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get from race to responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
JLP, if you don't know, he is out today. No Anchor Baby either today. So I'm filling in for Jesse Lee, and he ought to be back tomorrow. Okay. Yesterday we had Punchy TV, co-hosted by Bill, the engineer, Hake, the producer, and lead hosted yesterday by Derek, the producer. Derek, the black producer. Shout out. Of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. And tomorrow, after the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, after the Hake Report, before Anchor Baby, he ought to be back. And he ought to be, hopefully he has stuff going well. He's had internet problems this week. Many apologies. But we ought to have... Oh, I don't see it getting ready, though. So I don't know if I... We ought to have the Fallen State with... Let me just...
No, I don't have it.
Okay, no problem. I'll just tell you that the guest tomorrow is going to be a Father Daniel Brandenburg, author and Catholic priest. Not to be confused with last week's. This guy is a little bit older looking, anyway. He has a new book called Lead Like No Other, and I think that you will enjoy it. You might have seen the trailer of it yesterday, where the priest is talking about, oh, yeah, I still sin. I sinned this morning because I was cussing at a guy with my collar on. You notice these Catholic priests have these collars on? A collar. Shout out. Daniel Brandenburg. So make sure you do catch The Fallen State tomorrow, and you can support The Fallen State. It is on Rumble. It is on Locals. JesseLeePeterson.locals.com. There is a Rumble.com/TFS. Not a lot of people necessarily know about that, because most people are familiar with the Jesse Lee Peterson Rumble, as well as the, but there's also a Bond Rebuilding the Man Rumble and a Fallen State Rumble. So check those out. Very nice. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, the Hake Report. All right? The Hake Report. So I'll be live for 2 hours right after my show, after the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. I wanted to get back with Derek, the producer, who brought us this passage that I read to you at the beginning of the show this morning from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, none of them shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And a lot of time, it's never made sense to me, Derek, our black producer, because people just adopt this style of thinking that is, I wonder if the Supersaurus could, I don't know. Anyway, people just adopt a style of thinking, oh, I don't have to change. I'm justified now. But then you are supposed to change. And then they change and they're like, oh, I sin every day, but I'm supposed to be getting better. But that just sounds like worldly, can't-do attitude, intellectual stuff. So help us out. Oh, let me go ahead. Wait. There you are.
Testing. There we go. Nice. I think right now we have to make a decision. And there we go. So right now we have to make a decision, and that decision is, are we going to continue to trust our own thoughts, our own emotions? And, you know, when you read something beautiful like this that says, you know, though you have committed sin, though you're, you know, you've done one of the things that was listed, you are sanctified, you are purified, you've been made holy. And so the whole think about that right now is you either have to you know, accept what is written, what God has said, or just accept what you believe and what you see and what people tell you. So, you know, that's the real issue, is are you going to trust what the Word says, what God says essentially, or are you going to trust what you say? Because, you know, people judge themselves and people judge others and people believe things and they go through these cycles of believing in these lies. And sometimes people even go as far as to off themselves because they can't handle the thoughts that has come upon them. But, you know, that's why I appreciate just scripture like this in general. And I think that's just why it's important to kind of read, not to Bible thumb, but just to read it and take it in and then put it down and then pick it back up, of course. But that's why I think it's important. And because I talk to a lot of people and they say they don't know if they're going to heaven or not. And I'm just like, you know, how can you call yourself a Christian and not know if you're going to heaven or not? So
what does this passage tell you? How does it tell you that you're going to heaven?
Oh, did we read 11?
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6:11. So it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. So that's saying right there that you are washed, that you are sanctified, that you are justified, and you can stand before God in heaven. So the only question now is, are you going to accept what it says, or are you going to continue to believe what you think about yourself?
Oh, okay. Interesting. So it's a matter of what you believe.
That's true.
You're saying.
That's true. Because the thoughts will tell you one thing, you know. Oh, you were lusting yesterday, or, you know, you were doing this yesterday, you were doing this drug yesterday, but None of that matters. It's about, are you going to continue trusting yourself, or are you going to trust God? is basically what all scripture and just this scripture in particular is talking about. And that's how people should interpret it. So, yeah, that's really the big question is, are you going to keep trusting yourself, or are you going to accept that you've been purified, you've been sanctified, you're no longer a sinner?
And if somebody keeps on fornicating or adultering or reviling, which is gossip or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're not?
That they're not.
Going to inherit the kingdom of God?
No, that doesn't. Where does it say that? I mean, it we says, can pull up another scripture.
It says the unrighteous won't inherit it. So don't be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters will not inherit, shall not inherit.
Yeah, a lot of people, they just...
If you steal.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they get focused on chapters, well, 1 Corinthians, the chapter 6, verses 9 through 10.
You're right.
They get focused on that part, but they forget about the next verse, 11, which says, but, which negates everything else and brings you back to the present. It says, ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord. So that right there says it. I don't know if you feel differently.
So what does that mean? So let's say you slip and extort somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean you're not justified?
Well,
you go back to not being justified?
Well, to answer that, I'd have to say, did Jesus die for your future sins as well? Or was it just your past and your present sins? Or was it past, present, and future sins?
I don't know, because it says were some of you, but you were washed. If you were washed, how are you going to end up doing that again?
If you were washed, how are you going to end up doing it again?
And sanctified and justified.
You're saying you're going to continue doing that, so that means you're not sanctified. Is that basically what you're saying?
I'm questioning.
If you question it?
Yeah.
I mean, there are 600 and... I forgot exactly how many, but there are about 600 sins plus mentioned in the Bible. Do you continue to commit those sins?
If somebody does?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, do you?
Probably.
Probably.
I don't know.
So with that being said, do you think you're going to heaven?
I'm not really thinking that I am or am not.
You don't think about it?
I sometimes think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes think about it, but I ponder what the real salvation is. Because who is he talking to, and how do they know?
And how do they know?
Yeah, how do they know that he was telling them the truth about themselves?
That's true, and we'd have to do a deeper dive into that.
Just because we're reading it doesn't mean he was telling. Doesn't mean any old person who reads this has been washed, or have they, and they just don't know it.
Mm. I see. Yeah, that's more of a is the Bible true question. That's kind of what I'm getting. Is that kind of
what does it mean? Yeah.
Oh, what does it mean? Is that what? Okay, so what does that scripture mean?
Yeah.
And we going right back into it. Going right back into it. It means that what Jesus did on the cross is true, and he didn't fail. He died for your sins, bro. That's really what that means. It's like, that's like the first thing. Do you even accept that he died on the cross for your sins?
What do you mean, do you even accept it?
Yeah, because it's like, your question is like, I don't know if this is all true. I don't know if I'm really going to heaven.
No, but this is said, how to know you're going to heaven?
Yeah.
But this doesn't... It just says you are washed and sanctified, and so that's how you know?
Well, first it starts with, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
So it goes on to list the unrighteous things.
Right.
So.
But look at all these unrighteous Christians.
And what about them?
So are they going to heaven because they read this, the verse 11?
Yeah, I mean,
are they going to hell because they're living the verses 9 and 10?
Now, I'm not going to sit here and say all of them are, but those that accept are, for sure.
If they accept it, would they stop doing those things?
Probably not. But
really?
I mean, I'm not saying it's okay to continue doing those things, but someone that really gives their life to Christ will change naturally.
Yeah.
They will no longer have a taste for those sins. Yes, they may slip up because the righteous fall 7 times and then they get back up. But the main thing is going back to Christ. It's not about what you do. It's the fact that you continue to go back to Christ. It's the fact that when you fall, you get back up and you say, okay, I messed up, but, you know, Jesus is bigger than my sin, and I appreciate what he did on the cross. So, and that's the whole thing. It's like, yeah, you might keep slipping into sin, but are you going to continue? And that goes right back to what we were talking about earlier. Are you going to trust what you say about yourself, or are you going to trust what God says about you?
Right.
So, interesting. That's all that means. Yeah.
Nice. Do you have the new guy answering phones?
Oh, he's probably not even looking.
I know. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Right on.
Derek, the producer and co-host, guest host, co-host of the of Punchy TV. Check out yesterday's Punchy TV. It was interesting.
I hear that you're probably a very, very pro-Trumper.
How could you tell? From the
Christian nationalist stuff going on. Nice.
Why is it a Christian? Are you a Christian?
Go ahead. I was going to let it play one more time. Let's play that one more time.
No.
No? Okay, fine. Here, Cam 4. Boom. Nice. Go ahead. Derek, the producer, check him out. And then let me know who's on the line. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE.
Is Christianity offensive?
It can be if you're going to force it down people's.
These ladies, man. So that was a little bit different from how it was presented. So, because it was presented to me, going back to this story, how these ladies, one Lindell TV reporter and a random lady, supposedly Christian lady at the White House, going on what was described in our packet as an anti-Christian tirade. But it's not exactly anti-Christian. It's just hating. It's not that she's against Christians. She's against the Christian nationalism, because she believes the liberal talk about the Christian nationalism. And then she justified the offense of the cross in the world. And then there yet, and then the other one saying, I'm offended. And then they just start asking each other and saying know-it-all things to each other. Ridiculous. Anyway, that's why I sort of agree with Stetson out of Washington talking about don't be fighting. It's ridiculous. It looks silly. All right, so let me get to back to some calls here. John in Kentucky is on the line here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. What's up, John? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I thought that discussion between you and Derek was pretty interesting. And Derek sounds like an Israelite, because I believe that's that particular scripture exactly the way he explained it to you. And my thoughts were, I thought you had trouble understanding the scripture because of your beliefs, the Jesse Lee Peterson beliefs, because you guys think that you can't sin anymore. And you teach, you don't understand what sin is, which is breaking the law. And God says, if you keep the law, then that's how you show me that you love me. So all three of those things right there, you seem to have trouble with.
No, you don't know all those All those things are in the Bible. You cannot sin. If the Bible even says you cannot sin if you are born of God. Yes, it does.
I know, but I don't believe. Okay, tell me this. What's sin?
I don't know.
That's in the Bible too, Hank. What are you just skipping over that?
What? Skipping over what?
What sin is. God tells you what sin is.
What does it say that sin is?
It's breaking of the law. When you break the law, you sin. That's why Derek says there's like 600-something. When he says 600-something sins in the Bible, he's talking about breaking the law.
What do you think about when Paul said that when I do these things, it's no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it?
I guess they have evil inside them, and that evil, they're allowing that evil to rule them.
So sin is the evil that's ruling you.
Yeah.
And not just the breaking, and not just the action.
That you're allowing to rule you, which you said you still sin. I heard you tell Derek a second ago, you said you still sin. And that you didn't need, you don't know if you're going to heaven. You say you don't think about it. But
sin is not just the action of breaking the law. Sin is the thing living in you that drives you to break the law.
I disagree with that.
But that's what Paul said. So you disagree with the Bible? Do you disagree with Paul?
Read it again on what Paul said sin was.
It is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it.
Sin living in me that does it. That's the way I take it, man. You're allowing evil to rule you.
Right, and evil is sin that's ruling you.
Right.
So that's not just breaking the law that's ruling you.
It's the action. Well, that's what the Bible says.
No, the Bible says the Bible says it's sin living in me that does it.
It also says when you break the law, you're sinning.
Right.
So that's what sin is.
No, but you just oversimplified what sin is.
So if I cheat on my wife, am I not sinning? Am I not sinning?
You're sinning because you're cheating on your wife because you're sinning. You're not sinning because cheating on your wife.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, huh?
If I don't cheat on my wife, I'm not sinning. If I don't commit that action, then I'm not sinning. If I commit that action, I'm sinning.
But you were.
That's
but the
way,
sin.
That's
the sin
way
drove
I was taught. That's the way I'm looking at it.
But the sin drove you to cheat on your wife.
No, I don't look at it that way, Hank.
Oh, well, that's how Paul looks at it.
Breaking of the law is sinning. That's what it is. If you don't break the law, if you don't break the law, you're not sinning.
And so you still sin.
I don't sin willfully.
But how are you going to qualify willfully? The willfully is not in the Bible.
Yes, it is. It said it is.
Whoa.
It says that if you sin.
I can't even adjust that thing. Complicated business. Hold on. Oh, sorry.
Y'all going to a commercial or something?
Yeah, we're going to commercial. Hold on, if you can there, John in Kentucky. If not, I understand. He's a working man. 888-77-JESSE. Hake News. We'll be back in a moment, guys.
So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church.
This is Hake News, not fake news. It's Thursday. It's the end of hour one of the J.S. Lee Peterson Show. Thursday, November 13th, AD 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now, even during Hake News, not fake news, to get on hold, to get on air with Hake filling in for Jesse Lee. All right. And we'll be back for the second hour of Bible Thumper Thursday. But I got to do the news right now. Over on Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports that the government is back open. I believe. The government is opening. Several U.S. airlines are expressing optimism they will soon get flights back on schedule because they've been in delays, cancellations, all kinds of stuff. The effort will not be easy, nor will it be immediate because they have to get the people back to work and it's shenanigans. Flight delays and cancellations expected to linger as air traffic controllers work to increase their staffing levels. The longest shutdown in U.S. history is over after our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, signed a funding bill to reopen the government yesterday on Wednesday. It follows a bitter 43 days. I didn't know it was 43 days, but they're calling it a 43-day standoff in Congress over the country's spending priorities. Notably, absent from the funding package are any provisions to extend so-called health care subsidies. The major sticking point for Democrat lawmakers, because they want to bribe the people. Trump's signature paves the way for paychecks to flow to government employees, as well as the resumption of so-called critical food and nutrition services relied on by tens of millions of Americans. 42 million so-called Americans, many of them are not Americans, actually, I think, are getting food stamps. Crazy. However, it only extends funding until January 30th. So just a couple of months here, right? We're in November, mid-November, December, January. Just a couple of months, 2.5 months, something like that. Giving lawmakers a little over 2 months to avoid a similar shutdown situation playing out next year. And who knows, maybe they'll close it again. Did you hear about the Epstein files? There's all this drama about the Epstein files. We talked about it a bit on Punchy TV. You're welcome to call in about it, too, if you have thoughts about it. The House is set to vote next week on a contentious bill compelling the release of the so-called Justice Department's Jeffrey Epstein case files. On Wednesday, the House Oversight Committee Democrats released three little emails, newly acquired, they claim, from Epstein's estate that mentioned Donald Trump. This was soon followed by 20,000 other pages of documents released from the committee by the Republicans, because the Democrats released the three emails. Out of 20,000 pages, three emails related to Trump. And then 20,000, very interesting, related to Obama and all kinds of stuff. Epstein, a convicted so-called sex offender whose death by suicide, he killed himself in prison or in jail, has spawned, according to reports, increased scrutiny of the high-profile people he knew. Mentioned Donald Trump by name multiple times in private correspondence that began almost 15 years ago with an associate and an author in Trump's orbit. One of them was that Michael Wolff guy who tried to get Epstein to take down Donald Trump. Can you believe that? Back in 2016. And be a hero. The president denied any wrongdoing, of course, right? There's no evidence. And accused the Democrats of bringing up Epstein to deflect from their handling of the government shutdown. Indeed. What a mess. And the economy. 1 in 4 households live in paycheck to paycheck in today's increasingly so-called unaffordable economy, according to a Bank of America Institute analysis released this week. And so watch out. Save your money. Don't spend too much. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, guest hosted by Hake. Hour 2.
have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We are also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. And I am James Hake, filling in for Jesse Lee. Hang tight, callers. We will be getting to you. It's Bible Thumper Thursday. Everybody loves the Bible Thumpers, if they have any love at all. And that's a big question. All right. And you can get involved. You can call 888-77-JESSE, 1-888-775-3773. I want to play the Bible Thumper Thursday intro before we get going here. The biblical question of the week, how do you know when you're approaching Christ? And it's very similar to a 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 passage about the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. If you cheat on your wife, you're fornicator, you're an adulterer, right? It seems like to me. Or are you that just because you did it? I don't know. It's in the Bible. And it also says anyone born of God cannot sin because he's been born again of God. Anyone who sins has neither seen God nor known God. But all these Christians are talking about we still sin. And yet we're still saved. I'm a little confused. Any is it set? Yeah?
Okay. What's going on? There's a pastor.
Be seated. What's going on?
Of a Baptist church. Baptist. He says he wants the Holy Ghost. He's ready to have a new congregation. Whoa! He's ready to see the Holy Ghost move.
Bible Thumper Thursday, very cool. Let me get back. Oh, John in Kentucky was not able to hold on there. Kentucky John was not able to hold on. I was talking with him about in 1 John 3, it says, all have sinned. If anyone says he has not sinned, blah, blah, blah. But no one who's born of God sins. He cannot sin. So what the heck? Let me get with Kevin in New York, who's on the line over here. Kevin, thank you for calling, sir. And Holden, you're on the air.
Hey, Hake. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I think it's only fitting that I call in on Bible Thumper Thursday with what I wanted to discuss.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to throw in my two cents about your previous conversation about understanding sin in the Bible.
Yes.
Well, about that, there's a lot of things I have to say about that. Well, first of all, it really is important for us to recognize the work of Jesus in the sense of everything that he did. In conclusion, his victory basically made a way for us in the sense to where the work of the devil is finished. It's done. And so what remains is the perception of sin amongst us today. The reason why I say that is because what I'm about to say next is not only making reference from the Bible, but apocryphal sayings from Jesus, in which he said that the reason why sin and death still remains with us is because of our adulterous natures. is what he said. And I think that some people would actually understand that as that whole cheating on your wife sort of thing, cheating on your spouse. But in the context that Jesus was saying it in, and how we have adulterous natures, it was actually referring to our relationship with God and how we are very finicky with that. And it seems like we only run to God when we're in trouble. You know what I mean? It's that sort of thing. So it's our adulterous natures is what Jesus said in this apocryphal saying. And he then went on to say it was because we always give ourselves over to the things that deceive us is why this perception of sin still hangs over us. You see what I'm saying?
Not exactly.
Well, it's just, it goes into other things like belief and faith, Hake, because... just like the biblical question, how do you know you're approaching Christ and all that? Well, it's simply, the way I would put it is, you know that you're getting closer to Christ by simply and actually listening to the things that he said. I mean, we have that example in the Bible of how the disciples asked Jesus, what might we do that we would, what should we do to work the works of God? And Jesus' response was to believe on him whom he has sent, who is Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So if we don't believe on him who he has sent, who is Jesus, then we cannot be doing the works of God. You know? And I truly believe that in this life, you know, when we eventually drop our bodies and everything, yes, we may come to an ordeal where we're judged by the condition of our hearts. You know what I mean? But I've also come to the understanding that when we do drop our bodies, it seems like when our soul leaves our bodies, even those people on our way back to God, those people who didn't believe that they had Jesus as their helper are confounded on their way back to God. Is that the word I'm looking for? Confounded. Yeah. But
what does that mean?
Well, I don't know exactly. What I'm trying to say is that when we drop our bodies, it's that example that Chesley Peterson's been is trying to tell us all along, Hake, somebody better not, they ought not drop their body in anger or any of these other negative emotions that we identify because those things really are individual demonic spirits. And when we drop our body, those demonic spirits are going to make approach to you to see if you have any of them in you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Hello? Yeah, it all makes sense to me. Like, Chesley Peterson's right about what he says and everything. Like, these negative emotions, especially anger, we both do and say things that we normally wouldn't do had we not been angry.
Possessed.
But if someone were to remain in the present moment and really work on themselves and observe, then you realize that those negative emotions have that exact characteristics of demonic spirit.
Why do you say negative emotions?
You know, that's a really good question, Hake. Just from you asking me that alone, I may have to change my view on that and include the good emotions too. Because when you observe these things and you realize this not only in yourself but other people, these emotions can sort of metaphorically grab a hold of you and take over you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's all connecting the dots of, like, I mean, we talk about those negative spirits, that the spiritual battle that we're involved in, but we got to come to a real understanding about all that.
Yeah, because the positive spirits are deceiving too.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
The lust, the falling in love, simply, the feel good mess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it seems like madness to me nowadays how everybody, including myself, at one point or another, is just about obsessed with identity.
And I don't think that it's just at one point or another. I think that it's it has a hold of people. It has a hold of us. Identity does.
Yes.
Interesting, yeah, yeah. Kevin. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, I appreciate you guys too. And God bless everyone. And I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. Take care. William number 7, not to be confused with William the 3rd, out of California, I believe, is on the line here. William, thanks for calling and holding, sir.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Happy Bible Thumper Thursday. Yes, I can.
Yes, I used to be one, or was maybe in training. I just didn't know it. my pastor actually was really good at he would tell you the scripture, and then he could tell you, you know, by book and verse and all that and chapter, and it was impressive, but I think it's everyone's brains work different.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I was wanting to speak about that because it kind of, I guess, it segues into the Bible question.
You're talking about the passage of 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 that Derek
you
and
guys,
I were reading?
Yeah, and then I'd call her about that when I was waiting for the bus with the kid, and the guy was not peeing in a certain way about how sin rules in us, and he said he didn't see it that way. And I think we forget that sin, that word from the etymology, is a archery word. And, it's basically when you miss the target.
Missing the mark.
And yeah, it's missing the mark. And so you have to infer some things, even in an analogy, that you're aiming for something. And so, and I know Jordan Peterson always says you should always be aiming up, improving ourselves, both mind, body, and spirit. And so when it comes to the law that God made, you know, when Jesus came and said, you know, love God with all your, like, with everything you got, and then treat others like yourself, and the minutiae would take care of itself. Yet the Pharisees of that day basically piled on so many things about the Sabbath that they actually grumbled about the Sabbath, because if a Pharisee saw you breaking a law because they added extra stuff to it, that became burdensome, and it was for the benefit of man, not to become a burden and a curse, which what the Pharisees turned it into over the years and over time. Because don't forget, from the beginning when Moses, when it first got told to them, you know, a lot of time had gone by.
Right.
And let's not forget that Israel actually fell, and they did get all those curses because they did turn away from the of God and how we should treat one another. And so they're occupied by Rome, and then the festivals that the Rome let them still do, well, they were grumbling on the way to that because they knew they were going to get ripped off at the temple, and they're going to say something's wrong with the calf they brought, or the lamb they brought, or whatever. And then, you know, and it says there in the Bible that they were grumbling, and that's what angered Jesus, because he shows up, and it's just a pagan thing at that point almost, because the very Pharisees that were part of the tribe of Levi that God separated and perfected them because they were going to serve directly with him in the temple and the Holy of Holies, they wound up becoming the ones that were ripping off their own people, yet they looked at the tax collectors as though they were bad, but at least they were on record. So basically that's why Jesus said it's all wrong and it's all broke, and even the very Israelites themselves, the tribe that was separated, who, you know, ministered to God, even they messed up. And so nothing new's under the sun. So today, you know, we got a lot of technology and rules and laws, both in medicine and driving. I mean, many domains that wasn't in existence back 2,000 years ago. So when we break the law, I think what matters to him is that you're trying to do the best, not only for yourself, but your kids, to make the world better. By doing that, you're showing God that you love him. And that includes everything, you know, in the environment and being a good steward of your land. And we got corporations and governments out and running everything, and we don't even know what the truth is. So when you make a mistake, let's not forget, Jesus was teaching. His disciples were grown men. And we're talking, they were men back then, not sissies. Fishermen were not sissies. You know, they had to wrestle.
What do you mean? Go ahead.
Well, so that's all I'm saying is that I think we can sin accidentally. We can be kind of busy and go, oh, shoot, I didn't even think of that. I'll take you, for instance, Hake. You had a good upbringing, and I believe you do not intentionally do evil to people. And if you make a mistake, you'll go, oh, shoot, I didn't mean to make that mistake, whether it's your harming yourself or your fellow man. And so, and you can just tell that about a spirit of a person. And so we get all hung up on, oh, you're a sinner and not a sinner. And, you know, transgression, if you make a decision, you know, well, do I break this law or that law? I'm going to try to do my best to break none, but I might have to. Well, I think God's going to, I think not, don't make a habit of it, but you got to be able to move on and live a good life, because that's the peace that Jesse and you guys talk about, that you're doing the best and God knows your heart. But I think we get all hung up on that. Are you a sinner and are you saved? And I just think it's a bunch of mess. And yeah. I just think we're supposed to do the best we can and don't Bible thumb, because you can turn people off. Parents did beat their kids over it and they can become bitter over that.
Right.
So that's all. So that's what I'm talking about, the sin. If it lives in you, well, that means, I think that's just being lazy. And as an adult, at some point, I think being ignorant is willful. And maybe that's evil. And don't forget, when sin's full grown brings death. Not when you make one here and there because you just don't have the experience and you come across something in life you're not equipped to. And that's why we're supposed to come around each other and help one another out like brothers and sisters.
What did you say? Sinful grows? Sinful
when
grows?
No, the scriptures say, and I can't give you the address.
No, you're
but
fine.
When sin is full grown,
oh, full
it
grown
brings death. Fully grown. In other words, you never got correction. You didn't take correction. You thought you knew and you were correct, and you made yourself out to be God. Hmm. And that's when pride takes over, and that's when you fall. So yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. And I know I kind of wandered around, but I think what I said made sense. And like I said, especially when you're raising kids, you got to be careful, man. You can't be too all about the rules, because yeah. then there's no relationship. And then they become bitter and they think you hate them, even though you don't. But all they see is you're getting on them all the time and there's no love and you don't talk nice to them. And before you know it, your voice always has an edge and you don't even realize it.
All right.
So that's how I feel about the whole sin thing. Are we sinners? Yeah, because every now and again, we might make a mistake. God, I think, is okay with mistakes. He doesn't like evil. He doesn't like people who don't care about nobody but themselves. That person is not good for society or a household, for that matter. You know, the lazy. So anyway.
Well,
right,
thank
man.
You, William. Well, I appreciate it. Take care.
And shout out to Derek, man.
Yeah. Nice.
All right, man.
All right.
Peace out.
You too. I have some news, guys. There is some insanity going on in the world. You know how we're supposed to enforce the law where we can? We don't have to be like overly Nazi about it or whatever, overly strict about it. But we can enforce the law within reason, right? Well, there's actual judges who are seemingly saying, no, you can't enforce the law. You shouldn't. You got to release these people who are here illegally, whom you caught because we've allowed way too many people to be here and stay here illegally. And so Trump is trying to correct that with his Customs and Border Protection and with ICE. hundreds of ICE and Customs and Border Protection detainees are to be released. So ruled a judge, according to Politico. A federal judge Wednesday ordered the release of more than 300 people who are detained by the federal government as part of the federal immigration enforcement operations being conducted in the Chicago area. Chicago, a sanctuary city. Oh, we're gonna provide sanctuary and cover for these illegals to stay here. We want them to be comfortable. They've been here for generations or whatever. And this is a clip from NBC Chicago. Here's the news report in general about it. Check this out.
Alice and Stefan, the handcuffs are coming off more than 600 people detained during Operation Midway Blitz. They were improperly arrested by immigration and customs agents and border control officers as part of President Trump's attempts to rid Chicago of undocumented immigrants with criminal backgrounds. But as NBC5 Investigates has found, 85% of arrestees have no criminal convictions, and hundreds of those arrested without warrants are now to be released on bond. Despite a court order banning warrantless arrests that had been agreed to by the government, border control officers and ICE agents continued to round up suspected immigration violators without legal warrants.
Because the government has been unlawfully detaining people in mandatory detention, I'm very fearful that at least a couple hundred of them are already gone.
Gone as in deported, either at the government's hand or self-deported. But of the thousands who remain in U.S. custody, Judge Jeffrey Cummings today ordering the release of 615 people who were arrested without warrants. Judge Cummings allowing the government time to recheck that there are no dangerous criminals being released, deadline a week from Friday. For now, then, they are among an estimated 5,000 Chicago area detainees who will remain behind bars, mostly locked up in local jailhouses under contract with ICE. NBC5 Investigates has found at least 20 facilities scattered across the central U.S. being used by the Chicago Immigration Field Office in Wisconsin, Indiana, Missouri, Kansas, Kentucky, and Oklahoma, far from their Chicago homes, and some even further away in terrible conditions, according to civil rights investigators.
We have seen a pattern of people being transferred to Texas and places like Louisiana, which are closer to where they do their ultimate deportation flights. And we have seen that those facilities have grown in size and the conditions are frankly very dire. So, for example, a lot of the class members are being held at Fort Bliss, which is literally a tent camp. It's not even actual physical buildings, in which a couple weeks ago, as we reported to the court, there were torrential rains such that all the beds were wet. And so, yes, I think part of the tactic here is, one, holding people unlawfully into detention and denying them bond, but then, two, placing them in squalid conditions so they give up.
Ridiculous. I noticed that all these people fighting against this are neither the, what does this passage say? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The effeminate shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Revilers, extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. A black judge made him release him. If you're here illegally, do you need a warrant to be arrested? Or do you just get arrested? They can tell that you're illegal. They can look up the different things, right? I think they can tell. I think they can confirm that you are illegal. Are all 300 of those people? And you know, the thing is, the point of crime, the point of stealing, the point of selling drugs, the point of violating the law is not to get caught. So all these people who have no quote-unquote criminal record doesn't mean that they're innocent people. I knew and worked with illegals, and they did criminal things, some of them. They would sell drugs, even while being a honest working man. So, if you're here illegally, you are lawfully deported to be deported. Very simple. But I guess you have enemies of America in America fighting against from leadership position. What a mess. Hundreds of detainees released, according to, forced by a judge, a so-called judge. America's gotten quite corrupted. And a little bit of good news before I get back to your calls. You can call in 888-775-3773. But you know how these truckers, some of them have been causing accidents. Some of them have been here illegally, and yet somehow they have a commercial driver's license, driver license. Well, 17,000 California commercial driver licenses are to be revoked or are being revoked. According to FreightWave, freight as in carrying freight, you know, trucking, hauling freight, FreightWave, the California Department of Motor Vehicles, the DMV, has canceled 17,000 non-domiciled commercial driver licenses. Non-domiciled meaning they're not, their home is not here. They are foreigners. Many of them illegal, some of them maybe illegal, but they're not permanent residents. They may be mostly illegal. I don't know. That's 17,000, though. Commercial driver licenses canceled, 17,000, following a federal audit of the state's CDL, commercial driver license program, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. So here's a little report from NBCLA on this little update. May have safer roads now, perhaps. Or maybe some
job
openings.
The Department of Transportation put out a statement saying that those 17,000 CDLs were revoked in the state of California because they were illegally issued. But the governor's office quickly responded, saying the Department of Transportation just isn't sharing the truth.
Today, truck drivers got back on the road after filling up at the Commerce truck stop. On the same day, U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said the California DMV revoked 17,000 commercial driver's licenses in the state because Duffy said the CDLs were illegally issued to, quote, dangerous foreign drivers. This morning, the California DMV asked the governor's office to respond, and Governor Newsom's spokesperson said, quote, once again, the Sean Road Rules Duffy fails to share the truth, spreading easily disproven falsehoods in a sad and desperate attempt to please his dear leader. The governor's office says the impacted drivers are not illegal immigrants and that the licenses were withdrawn due to, quote, inconsistency with California law. The DMV didn't respond when asked for further clarification on what that means. But the news comes 1 month after a semi-truck driver who was in the United States illegally was accused of causing a crash that killed three people in Ontario. And it follows the California DMV's announcement in September that the DMV cannot issue or renew CDLs to people who are here legally in the United States but are not permanent residents or citizens.
We have definitely seen the impact on our students.
Rosie Trujillo is the office manager at the Los Angeles Trucking College.
We've had a student here and he had already his license, was working, family man, so he just had to go to the DMV and renew his license. He had a DACA, he went, and when he tried to renew it, he couldn't anymore. They said that they don't accept it unless he has residency or citizenship.
And Rosie says most of their students weren't born in the United States.
Back in a
moment.
Not
a lot of people that have the citizenship or residency want to do this. It's people that come from other countries with DACA work permits. They're the ones that really want that change in their lives, and they were the ones coming to get their CDL license. We're just afraid that it's going to impact and affect our business, and we don't want it to. We want to be here for a long time.
You know, Christmas is coming up. Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, all that coming up. I have some amazing books that would make for excellent guests.
Yeah, today the Department of Transportation put out a statement saying that those 17,000 CDLs were revoked in the state of California because they were illegally issued,
from race to responsibility. Check it out. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. And last but not least, a little small pocket guide, the 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Just a little thin piece of book, but it's so good. So check them out. You can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And I can sign them if you order them that way. If you don't want me to sign them, no problem. You can order from Amazon.com, all right?
Jesse. I'm James Hake filling in for JLP, if you didn't know. Make sure you catch The Fallen State. Gonna be a very interesting episode. Jesse's been talking with some Catholics. Last week he had one Catholic guy on. I think they're Catholics, right? And then this week, maybe it was something else. I don't know. One of those guys wears a collar, the special priest collar thingy majigger. And this week he has another guy who's on, who had a caller. Let's see, what's that guy's name? He will be talking with Father Daniel Brandenburg. I mean, he already spoke with him. And that is coming out tomorrow, Friday, on The Fallen State. After the Jason Lee Peterson Show is The Hake Report, and then The Fallen State on Friday. Author and Catholic priest, new book, Leader Like No Other. So, I don't know if you have that handy in the hyperdeck thingy there. No? What in the world? Okay. So make sure you check that out. Yesterday we played the trailer for it. I wanted to get to your Super Chats, guys. I would be remiss if we did not get to your supers. Be aware that some of these supers may be for Jesse Lee, and so I will be rereading the ones that seem like they're for Jesse, all right? So, over on pilled.net, Pastor Chatelet gifted 111 gold pills saying, Christ said to them, if you look upon a woman with lust, you have committed adultery in your heart. Caller is an R word. Christ was quite clear. And was Christ saying that, and that is sin to commit adultery in your heart looking at a woman? Interested. Thank you, Pastor Chatelet, on pilled.net. Follow Hake, the Hake Report, also on pilled. Jesse Lee Peterson on pilled.net. That is a veteran-owned platform. Very cool. Let me check to make sure that we're all set on the Rumble crew. Thank you, Takcho, Old Saucy, Jules Verne, Slave to Him, Pastor Chatelet, and the rest of the supporters over there monthly on the Rumble crew. Let me read these from that came in on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, someone asks, does a renewed mind have thoughts? Interested. Interesting question. A question for Jesse Lee. Does a renewed mind have thoughts? You know, because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Danny Moore, let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Danny Moore, oh, It says, all right, Jesse and the lads, can you believe how much President Trump, I call him Big Daddy Trump, is doing? He's only been in a year. Less than a year. He took office in January of this year. And so much has happened. And he's done so much. He's here, he's there, and everywhere. Come on, James. What manner of man is this? Donald J. Trump. A true Christian. The wind and sea obey him. No, all who come against him shall fall or fail. Someone, you can't mess with God's man. You can't stop greatness. Someone bought three coffees. Hey, guys, fellow mother and father forgiver here. Forgiver of mother and father, he forgave, or she did. It saved my life. No anger left. Eternally grateful for your advice, Jesse. Now for my question. I understand why you guys go after Islam. And so you should. Just wondering why you halt at criticism of Jews. When someone does this, you seem to turn it around and say, we are just as evil as the Jews. But with Islam, it's different. Islam, it's different. The reason I ask is because the high-level Jews openly say they hate white Western culture and the Kalergi plan. A conspiracy theory, they say, explicitly states they will use Islam and Africa to make Europe and the United States a brown mongrel race. And they can, that they can control. It's why they are involved in most of the country's governments to push immigration. This is not coming from a paranoid place of hate. It's a practical question of concern about who the children of the lie actually are. I know it's Satan. But they, these Jays, openly say this stuff whilst both are possessed. They use Islam as their puppet, says someone with three coffees. And pretty soon, that puppet's going to swallow them up, too. And that's happening. Crazy, huh? But I think that your interpretation is of what's going on is different, is off, sir. If I can answer that, it's off. Because there is plenty of criticism that happens towards Jews here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show and the Hake Report. But, a lot of time, what Jesse's main message is, the evil is in you. Look at yourself. Don't be fooled by Jews or Muslims or so-called Christians or your own thoughts. Don't be fooled by them. Don't be afraid of them. So, you're mistaken, but thank you. Let me read. There is some more over here. Over on YouTube. The Observer of Thoughts says, good morning, Bond. Amazing. Good morning, the Observer of Thoughts. Cloud Bops gave a thumbs up pair sticker. Thank you, Cloud Bops. Fazul says, First Lieutenant Hake, manning the helm. What the? Thank you, Fazul. Rex Fig says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Who was and is to come. Revelation 4:8. Praying hands emoji. Bible thump a Thursday. Thank you, sir. And let me just catch up. You guys talk about male teachers, says No Mo Thoughts in Punchy TV. I believe boys and men learn better from male teachers. Women are too unpredictable to earn the trust of men. Probably one of the reasons why God says he will not allow women to teach. P.S. Shout out to Bill the Engineer. Indeed. Thank you, No Mo Thoughts. We were talking about how Trump is bringing in all these foreign talent, these foreigners, or he says he's going to. He said that infamously, I guess, just yesterday or the day before it went was going viral, maybe a couple days ago. It was going viral, so on Punchy TV, check it out. It's on audio podcast as well as Punchy TV on YouTube. We were talking about how, well, the state of education here in America stinks. All these women teachers, grade inflation, And we brought all these foreigners in who messing up the classrooms and disrupting the classrooms, and English is a second language, and the whole class has to be dumbed down in order to accommodate the slowest learners, many of the slower learners anyway, or people who aren't even trying to learn or aren't even paying attention. And so you can get an A easy in some of these schools, and then you can't get an A with the same effort and same amount of work and same achievement in another school. And the male teachers have been the best. Sometimes they're also the worst. But they're, like, better, and they man the classrooms better. They have this natural calm, natural authority, natural orderliness, so much better. But thank you, No Mo Thoughts. Eric says, anyone who says I'm offended is wrong on general principle, referring to those ladies who were fighting outside the White House. A reporter lady starting to talk. What's a reporter lady doing talking about I'm offended? A reporter is supposed to be objective. Well, we've learned that they're not objective. They're emotional. General principle is because they're judging intent. The context is irrelevant. Thank you, Eric, with your coffee. Sion says, hey, yay, Hank. It's Hake, H-A-K-E. But I answer to Hank. I don't mind. It's fun. But it's not Hank. It's Hake, H-A-K-E. A substitute for my man, says Sion. For when he's out, Jesse, why do blacks like Hank so much? You know why that is? Because Hank likes black people. We love black people here, I think. I find you guys, you blacks, very entertaining. Nikki has a question for Derek. You speak of scripture so beautifully and with such devotion, says Nikki. Do you think someone can truly know, come to know God without ever reading the Bible? Asks Nikki. I may have to bring Derek in to answer that question soon here before the day is over, Nikki. Thank you for your question on Buy Me a Coffee. And let me just double check over on Cash App before we get back to your calls and things. Kevin, thank you again for your generosity over on Bond JLP on Cash App. Very nice. And shout out to the DLive crew. Okay, so before I get back to the calls, that's it for the Super Chats. Thank you for now. We'll get to more of them later. I wanted to talk a little bit about that story that got interrupted there because I played the clip all late in the world. It's terrible. So we were talking about the commercial driver licenses being canceled, and you never know who's telling the truth or who's telling the whole truth or what's true, right? Even coming out of the Trump administration, they may be saying stuff that turns out, I don't know, might not be true. But California was like, oh, that was a sassy remark in that little news report from NBC News. It pretty much played the whole thing, huh? It played to the end, even though it was kind of disrupted by the music. Do we want to play this one more time? Do you want to play the show? Let's play this one more time.
The whole thing?
I don't know. Can you skip? Nah, never mind. I think it played enough. Yeah. So somebody pointed out that lady talking about there was a DACA recipient who was trying to do the right thing or whatever. Yeah, of course you're trying to do the right thing. There's a difference between trying to do the right thing and actually doing the right thing. If you're here illegally, some people who are getting out of these 17,000 commercial driver license meaning you can drive like a truck, for example, or some type of thing. It's a fancier driver license than just regular car or truck. It's for commercial vehicles. So you can be here illegally and get it. That's not right. California was giving driver licenses, regular driver licenses, and commercial driver's licenses to illegals. Shout out. May as well, if you're going to be here, may as well make yourself useful. But how about we send you back? How about we cancel that because we don't want to enable this being here illegally? How about we get them to self-deport, some of them? How about we get a little bit of sanity back? That would be nice. I think it would be nice. The Department of Transportation finally getting a hold of some of these liberal states who are just going out of control. And in the government, in the DMV and other things, there is this hookup culture. I don't mean hookup as in having sex. I'm talking about it's all about the hookup. Who you know and, oh, you're one of my people. Oh, you're here illegally, but let me help you out. There is this, I call it a mama spirit. Everybody calls it a mama spirit here. Helping people thing where you sneak them in even when they don't actually qualify. So California's not doing right, and then they're calling Sean Duffy following his dear leader, Trump. Talk about an unprofessional response, huh? From the California not doing things right. Ridiculous. All right. So, law-breaking culture is rampant in the state of California among the people, the Latinos, among the Asians, among even the whites and the blacks here. I keep on forgetting that there's black people here, but there are. Law-breaking culture, and it's in the government. And in the culture. This is no longer law and order. It's terrible. Let me get to Kent, a first-time caller out of Oklahoma, who is on the line here. Kent, thank you for calling and holding, sir. You're live with Hank.
Good morning, Hank.
Good morning.
Realize something about the origin of thoughts. I think right at the very beginning, right in Genesis, the devil said, "You won't die." Told Eve, "Oh, you won't die."
Right, and after God told them they would die, he directly contradicted God.
Right, and they would become like God, knowing the difference between good and evil, which is, was he presented it as a good thing, but it's not a good thing. So Eve took those two thoughts, that she wouldn't die and that she would be like God, and rubbed them together and got an imagination. And everything came from that. And when they were kicked out, Adam and Eve did know good and evil because they had been with God. And then they went away. And so...
Well, let me jump in there. Hold on. Adam and Eve knew... They knew good because they were with God. They knew good and evil. They had the knowledge of good and evil after eating that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yes. But... So that part was when they went out of the garden, they couldn't teach good to their children because they didn't know God anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just them that could know the difference between good and evil because they knew God. But they didn't have any way to communicate that to their children, and we're their children. So I just thought that that's, maybe a good thing to remember is that he told us right away, the very first thing he ever told us about thoughts were that they came from the devil and they weren't, would separate you from God. So that was my observation.
So you're saying that the thoughts are Satan sowing doubt about...
Yeah, he started... Right, he started...
Sowing doubt and contradiction.
Right. And he never stopped.
He also sowed like a false pride in them. And a notion of equality. Because he said, God doesn't want you to have this knowledge because then you'll be like him. You'll be like God.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So everybody thinks they're in a satanic way, people are acting as though they're like God, judging.
Yes. I think that's a good point.
Self-seeking.
Yeah. Yes.
What a mess. Cool. Thank you for your contribution there, Kent in Oklahoma.
Okay. Thank you, Hank.
Yeah, thank
you. Have a good morning.
Yeah, bye. You as well. All right. Derek says, people are in their imagination. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Boom. All thoughts are all lies all the time. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis 6:5. Nice. Thank you, Derek, the producer of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Bible Thumper. Very nice. Okay, in the coming hour here, I do have other stuff to get to, including a woman, a pot-smoking woman, who got paranoid and killed her friend, allegedly, after smoking weed. I told you, you ever heard of reefer madness? It's real. You guys are saying, oh, it's not real. And then also, a proof, according to Derek, that Jesus is God. by debunking a Jehovah's Witness. So that's some fun stuff coming up in the third hour of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show here on Bible Thumper Thursday. Using John 1:3 and a simple napkin illustration, you can prove that Jesus, according to Derek, is God. Very fun. So we're going to be getting on that, okay? Let me double check for any remaining supers before the top of the hour here, because I'm going to be reading the news here. Are we able to play you can't find the Fallen State one there in there, Hyperdeck? I guess we don't have time for it. Anyway, we'll deal with that later. This is the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, guest hosted by Hake. Get to your calls, more great stories, and your super chats. Hake News coming in. I'll be right back, guest hosted.
I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND and donate to my nonprofit, BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
In the world. What did I do? My bad. Thank you, Bill. A whole lot of mess going on in this old here world. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Bible Thumper Thursday. Guest hosting for Jesse Lee. And we do have, anyway, the third hour of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show is coming right up, guys. All right, it is hate news, not fake news. And Jesse Lee will be back tomorrow in the, for Friday, for Get It Off Your Chest Friday. Okay. So sweet, very sweet. By the way, there's one line open. You can call in 888-77-JESSE, 888-775-3773. But it's hate news, not fake news. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, reports 1 in 4 households live in paycheck to paycheck in today's increasingly unaffordable economy. According to a Bank of America Institute analysis released last week, I was telling you that at the end of the first hour, the bank's researchers combed through the internal data on its tens of millions of consumers and tracked how much they spent on necessities like housing, gasoline, groceries, childcare, utilities. The report found 24% of households spend over 95% of their income on those necessities, leaving little to nothing left over for the nice-to-have things like going out to dinner or taking a vacation, let alone saving, so they say. The report comes as our greatest president, Donald J. Trump, continues to dismiss affordability concerns as a con job conjured up by Democrats. Nice. Trump is making the economy better, definitely. He's working in the long term anyway, so shout out. And he said that the tariffs are doing so well, he's going to give a $2,000 check to the people who need it. Nice. Or who could use it. Because we're taxed to death already. There's a little update on that. Remember that UPS plane crash that took place last week? Fiery plane crash? Like a dozen people died, maybe more. Authorities have identified all 14 victims. Okay. From the fiery UPS cargo plane crash last week in Louisville, Kentucky. Their names, and this was at Muhammad Ali Airport. Their names were released Wednesday at Louisville as Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg lamented the lives that will forever be unfinished. Terrible. Among the victims were 3 pilots aboard when the crash happened during takeoff at UPS Worldport, the company's global aviation hub located at Muhammad Ali International Airport. Embarrassing, huh? Investigators from the National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, remain at the crash site as they work to determine the cause of the devastating accident. Crazy, huh? An immigration, a federal judge, as you heard, ordered the release of more than 600, not just 300, 600 people arrested as part of the Trump administration's immigrant crackdown, illegal alien crackdown in Illinois. According to CNN affiliate WLS, dealing a blow to the president's sweeping deportation efforts. Well, 600 out of however many millions that are here illegally, hopefully we can recapture them. Attorneys from the National Immigrant Justice Center and the evil ACLU alleged that more than 3,000 people arrested between June and October, Operation Midway Blitz. Following the ruling, 615 of those arrested must be granted bond by November 21st. Bond, that means they get let out of jail on bond. They're out on bond. Is that what that means? The decision comes amid ongoing concerns over racial profiling. Give me a break. And constitutional rights for illegals? No. As the administration's broad deportation campaign targets people of all ages, that's right, with arrests taking place. Now back to Jesse Lee.
have to stand up strong. Make the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies, we are also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. And it's so real. I am James Hake, filling in for Jesse Lee Peterson. You can call in 1-888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E. All right, Jesse. That's right. Hold on, complicated business. There we go. And you can super chat, and you can call and listen to the listen line. Just go to jesseleepeterson.com/show. You open up your web browser and you type in jesseleepeterson.com/show, and that'll take you to the website. You can find the YouTube, the Rumble. You can find the listen line, 605-615-4131, I believe it is. Let me just double check it right now. Yes, indeed. 605-615-4131. And it's a listen line. So that's nice. The radio show on TalkStream Live. Very nice. And if it's working... See, it's working. So you can call that number if you ever want to listen live through that listen line. And nice. And you can super chat buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Bond JLP on Cash App. Of course, the YouTube. We do see more coming in. Appreciate that. Only love matters. Hey, Karen. Nice to see you. And this hour, hopefully I will remember to open the treasure chest and do the scratch-offs. The treasure chest is on dlive.tv/JesseLeePeterson. There is a faithful redheaded stepchildren crew listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show and to the Hake Report on dlive.tv/our respective shows/JesseLeePeterson/the Hake Report. And we'll see. And then pilled.net/JesseLeePeterson. Thank you, Pastor Chatelet. Thank you, Belushi. Very cool to see you guys over there. White Wings, 1776. It's fun. All right, but most normal people are on the YouTube, although we use the term normal very loosely. The snake pit, as I call them, the live chat, is what I call a bunch of revilers who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But shout out to you guys. Very fun. And many people are also watching on rumble.com/JesseLeePeterson. What's up, guys? Hey, not too bad. So again, no American anchor baby today, but tomorrow he will hopefully be back, and JLP ought to be back tomorrow. All is well. And the Fallen State's going to be fun. Okay. So we may even be able to play the little teaser for you guys. But I wanted to get back to the calls, I think, before I get back to these stories. And I wanted to thank Derek, the producer, for helping to make this happen. And by the way, Bill, the engineer, filling in for the Anchor Baby very skillfully. He's the one who set up this whole thing for Anchor Baby to run it more efficiently than Bill ever could. Bill, the engineer. He's manning the board. Thank you kindly. But I want to get to Ardeen out of Colorado. Ardeen, thank you for calling and holding. How you doing?
Hi, no problem. Doing good. How are you?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Couple things. First off, when you were mentioning as far as on your Hank Report. Hank Report.
Fake news.
It was the affordability thing. It is a problem. It is a serious problem.
Yeah,
you
I'm
don't
aware.
Have money. I work not a soup kitchen, but I work at handing out food to people. It has been standing room only for people who are not getting EBD cards, and I'm talking seniors here. They've paid their taxes all their lives. They did it. They did what they had to do. And now they're getting shoved to the corner and pushed aside. They're realizing we are the expendables, and they have no food. They actually have no food. Enough with that. Now to go with the
and whose fault is that?
Biblical. It is that they cut off the EBTs without warning people, and they're scared to death. They don't know what they're going to do for food.
Why are senior citizens taking food stamps?
Why are they taking food stamps? Because they can't afford it on their Social Security with the cost of the rent, because the deregulation of rent control was taken care of during his first administration. And we had a lot of people bringing up the balloon that will pop for the real estate market, making it to where it's very unaffordable for a lot of people. And they limited on the Section 8. Half of these people that come into the food camp, food places, subsidies, don't have, they're on Section 8 housing too. Most of the senior areas out here, assisted living, is not assisted living. That's the difference. That's Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about the independent living for seniors. They are Section 8 housing.
How did housing get so expensive?
You want me to tell you how? Okay. Because they had somebody, I don't know in California, I know in Colorado, there's a lot of LLCs coming around wanting to buy up houses. They did that probably about 3 years ago. When it was legalized that they could come in, corporations could come in and buy housing, what they did, they would go into areas, buy up all the homes at excruciating high prices to where it would fraudulently raise the property value of the neighborhood. I had my daughter where she lived. Somebody came in, they had their house on sale, regular real estate sale, for about 6 months. They were getting no buys on it. They had somebody come in and say, we will pay you $400,000 cash tomorrow for your house today. They got a check the next day for $400,000. They cashed out. They moved. Now, that raised that whole area over there into the $400,000 range, $300,000 to $400,000.
Nice.
Right there. Okay, now with that, that was done throughout the neighborhoods here, and they stopped building single-family homes. They don't build starter single-family homes anymore.
They're doing apartments and mess like that nowadays, high rises.
Because it is for the LLCs that were allowed to come in because they reduced the regulations on housing during his first administration.
Who, Trump?
Now with that.
Oh, so you're trying to blame Trump for this?
No. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Are you trying to blame Trump for this? This has been going on long before Trump.
I'm talking about the people passing the laws, Congress, okay? Let's go there, okay? Work there. Now,
I don't see how
that,
if we deported the illegals.
Listen to me.
But you're
listen
going on
to
too
me.
Long. Go ahead.
I want to finish explaining it. Please let me finish explaining.
Well, be brief.
Now with that.
You don't explain
person,
things very simply. You're not a good teacher.
To this.
Go ahead.
That's your call. I don't care. You can say whatever you want to. It's your opinion. But what happened with the fact, if a company came in, they have, say, as an example, an acre lot. They have a choice to build four houses on an acre lot because each house lot takes probably about a quarter of an acre, normally, within the ballpark range. Or they could build a multi-level apartment building where they have positive cash flow for the rest of that person's life, or rest of that structure's life forever.
From all those tenants,
now,
huh?
From the tenants. You know, you're talking 100 tenants as opposed to four tenants. What makes financial sense more? Seriously, that's what they did. They actually took us out of middle class starter homes. The generation today now cannot buy homes because they cannot afford a home anymore. In the 400 to half a million, my house in Moorpark, California, sold for $64,000. Right now, I look at my house there. Well, we sold it for $164,000.
Well,
but
don't,
my
worry,
house right there,
don't worry, Ardeen. Don't worry, Ardeen. Trump is going to fix the whole situation. It's because it's
he's making
it's
it worse. Have a good day. Have a good day. He's making it worse. A lot worse. And
no,
we're going to have a
true.
Depression. It's going to be a depression.
No, you're talking about rent
this.
Control. That's no solution. And subsidies, Section 8 housing and all that stuff, those are no solutions. Those are parts
how much,
of the problem.
How much does food stamps cost you as a taxpayer?
How is Trump making it worse?
How much does food stamps cost you as a taxpayer?
I have no idea, but all that stuff is unnecessary.
Okay, it costs you.
$3. Ardeen.
Food stamps
Ardeen.
Cost you $3 a month or $40 a year.
And it cost that's what it costs me personally.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. Ardeen.
You still don't want to pay $3 a month to help people
nope,
eat.
No, absolutely
you
not.
You still don't want to do that.
Nope. Because they should pay, they should be able to feed
people.
Themselves. I don't
even
care.
Even old people who Maze. Can't work. You don't
Ardeen.
Care.
Ardeen.
We're expendable. So old people are expendable.
That's
you're
not, that's not what I'm
news.
Saying. That's not what I'm saying,
that
Ardeen.
Old people can't eat. Old people can't eat.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do. I feed them every day.
No,
yes,
but
I
you're
do.
Not. You're not telling the whole truth about what's going on. You're just trying to pretend like it's Trump's
truth?
Fault. The whole truth is
no,
that
it's
the
Congress's fault.
The
for
whole
passing
truth
this, for passing laws.
You asked me what the whole truth
people.
Is. You asked me what the whole truth
yeah.
is. The
yeah.
whole truth
is
that the government, 60-something percent of the government's spending is social spending, and when you subsidize food, when you subsidize housing, when you subsidize people's lives, they're not productive anymore, and you are also causing those things, food, housing, health care, health insurance, to go up in price. That is part of what is spiking price, and they're over-regulating and pretending like they're going to swoop in with the solution when Trump knows that the government is not the solution. The government is part of the problem. So he's getting rid of some of the over-regulation and over-taxing and the
yeah, at rate
and the,
property
and by the
home.
Way and by
yeah.
the way Ardeen uh-huh. the cutting off what? Of the food stamps is the Democrats doing because they wanted to pretend like oh we need to subsidize this health care so they screwed up the food stamp situation for those people during the government shutdown. That's the Democrats' fault, not Trump's.
Trump's fault.
Okay, you just want to blame Trump
downright
because you have no logic. You're just a woman who hates Trump, a woman who hates men.
No.
Yeah?
A woman that hates men.
Yes.
Whoa, you took a big step there, one.
No,
whoa,
you hate men. You hate
step.
Trump. If you hate Trump, you hate men. Trump is a man.
He's not a man.
Yes,
he's
he is.
Not a man. He's
See?
Not a man.
That's a woman who hates
not
men.
Not a man at all.
How is he
not,
not a man?
He is the most disgusting human being I've ever heard of in my life. He's worse than them all.
But these are the words of a woman who hates men. Only a woman who hates men would say words like this.
What? No, just
yes.
him. Just him.
You're saying that about Trump, and Trump is one of the best men that you've ever seen.
I would. Okay, you know who what I'd love to see as president right now?
No.
Blow you guys all out of the water is great. And I'm not talking, I'm not.
Nick Fuentes?
Everybody who is.
Jesse Lee Peterson?
Oh, God, talk about a Nazi. We'll go there. I guess we could do that one. No, I'd actually like to see Jon Stewart.
Oh, Lord. I'm not surprised. A mama.
He's more brain cells than you guys. Seriously.
Not really.
You want to make a bet?
Not really, Ardeen.
Okay,
you picked
I'll
a liberal girly male.
I'll
a liberal emotional girly
you.
Male for president. He hasn't run anything. He's just run his mouth. Sometimes
what
hit sometimes
Trump
hit and
what
miss.
Trump do? Oh, Trump also actually. Oh, yeah. He does the pedophile thing too. Yeah, I forgot about that one. Have a great
day. What do you mean by that?
It was a pleasure talking to
What do you mean by that?
You know
what
I
mean
know.
By that?
You know what I know.
Man-hater?
You know. Man-hater?
Yeah, man-hater.
No, not a man-hater. Not a man-hater.
Are you a pedophile?
Yeah. Am I a pedophile?
Yeah.
No.
Then why are you calling Trump one?
Because there's emails that state he knows a lot of stuff going on. Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it does. He actually agreed.
Goodbye,
with
Ardeen.
It. He did not.
Goodbye. A woman who hates men. It's terrible. I don't even believe her story now. You can't even really believe a word that comes out of her mouth. Oh, these poor seniors on Section 8 and food stamps. Now they're in, I work at a giving to the poor people stuff. They stopped the rent control. Please. Let's talk to a man, can we? Kevin, a first-time caller out of Missouri, is on the line here. Kevin, thanks for calling and holding. What's up?
You're welcome. You did a great job being very patient and finding out what her real point of her story is.
Yeah, all the evil came out of her. She pretended like she has all this love for these seniors, and then she hates our best senior who's making everything better for everybody.
It's a great leftist manipulation point. They throw out one thing and talk about it, and you found the point of the gist of her story. I'm here to talk about manipulated social bombing. I just heard about this on Facebook today. Are you familiar with manipulated social bombing?
By manipulate, you're saying manipulative?
Manipulative or
manipulative. Social bombing. So you're trying to be manipulative by bombing people with like love, what do you mean by social bombing?
No, it's
manipulated or manipulative.
Both work.
Okay, so you're trying to be controlling.
Basically, it's used by leftists, and it's like billionaires pay people $20 an hour, and on. Once an hour, they share the same message, like, just like what she was
saying. On social media.
Right, on social media.
Oh, so.
Just like what she was saying, that Trump is, or MAGA is awful, Trump is, and it's, they have so many people that they're paying to do it, and they're trying to manipulate people by posting negative stuff, especially about Trump or MAGA.
So it's artificially putting out what the people believe. So it's pretending to be, it's kind of like paid protesters type of a thing.
Yeah, basically the same thing.
To try to make it look like the people are thinking this. So politicians have an excuse to push an agenda that the social media influencer person or just some normie person being paid to post on social media about, Trump stinks. Oh, the people are saying Trump stinks. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. Wow. No, I hadn't really heard about that specifically. Although I did see a phenomenon last night in which they said people were saying MAGA is dead. And a whole bunch of people were saying MAGA is dead.
Just like that.
Yeah.
I saw it on Facebook. I'm on Twitter,
right,
and two or three other platforms, and I haven't seen them on that yet. And I thought, well, how could I deal with that? So guess what? I just went to Google and say, how do you deal with it, Google? And because you can do a couple different things. You can ignore it, which is a good method, or you can ask them or tell them to stop it. But the problem is they will get clicks. Every time you engage with them, they will get clicks.
Right.
So they probably get paid for clicks.
Yeah. That has crossed my mind because people will sometimes say, some of these influential people or whatever, or people with a lot of followers will say things that are just kind of ridiculous or not true, or they're making an argument that doesn't make sense. And sometimes I'm tempted to reply, but if you reply, you're amplifying them, and there's not necessarily any light coming from replying to these people. It's not like they're going to agree with it. maybe somebody reading may see my reply and be like, oh, yeah, that's true. That makes sense. But that's fat chance. I sometimes think that it's best not to even engage with that, with social media like that.
Correct, because yeah. They probably get a paid click. For each click they get paid, and it just encourages them.
Yeah, right.
And they ignore that. You know, they don't want to spend time arguing with them because they're paid to just push a button and throw out junk.
Well, if that's what you're saying it is, that's very trickstery, very tricky. That's why I don't really buy anything when I see, when they talk about these protests or something's trending on social media. That's just the crowd, and the crowd is dumb. The crowd is not wise about what should happen or what the problem is, you know? So, whatever.
I'm first-time caller. What channels or what platforms are you on otherwise?
We're so on... Jesse Lee Peterson and The Hake Report are on all the major platforms except for not Facebook. Bond is on Facebook, but the Jesse Lee Peterson, back during the problems when they were starting to censor everybody, they censored Jesse Lee. Right. But anyway... I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, but we're mainly on YouTube and Rumble. Those are the main two.
You on? Okay.
YouTube and Rumble. And then we're also on X, which is Twitter. D Live, but you probably haven't heard of that. You probably wouldn't like it. I don't know. Depending on how mature of a man you are. And other platforms. Punchy.tv, which is our own live streaming platform. And cozy.tv/JLP, wow. Jesse is, and many
if
others.
If I Googled you, that would get, what's the easiest way to get all that information? By Googling you or?
Yeah, if you Google Jesse Lee Peterson or if you Google The Hake Report, those are places you can find. Or if you just go to the website, jesseleepeterson.com.
To find your platform.
To find Jesse's platforms. And from there, you can find mine.
Okay, find it on Jesse's. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kevin in Missouri.
God bless.
You too. Take care. William III of California is on the line here. How you doing, William?
Hey, man.
Hey.
So you pulling off a double today?
Yep, a double shift. 3 hours of Jesse and then 2 hours of Hake.
You can do it, man.
Nice.
You're doing good. So who's going to do, is Nick coming in?
No Anchor Baby today.
No Anchor Baby.
Yeah.
So who's going to knock you into home plate?
I think it's just going to be Jesse, the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, The Hake Report, and then that's it for today.
Okay, we're down two runs in the ninth inning. So
I know.
We'll get you across the plate and we'll win this thing 3-2.
Nice.
Yeah. So, a couple of things. What do you think about? I told you Thursday, didn't I? Thursday they're going to reopen.
Oh, sure enough, yeah. Thursday they are reopening because he signed it like last night, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, do you like the fact that the Dems shut the government down and got their people saying that Trump shut it down, but it was really them and they got nothing?
Yeah. Whatever. It's just a little battle. It's like basically a whatever. Messed up people's lives when they're trying to fly around. That's about it.
Right. Right. Well, I heard what he wants to do with the ACA is to actually stop giving that money to the insurance companies.
Yeah, and give it directly to the people.
Right. Now, here's a newsflash, people that's listening. That doesn't mean that you're going to get $2,000 cash to go buy some cigarillos and Nikes. That's not going to be. It's going to be something where that goes directly to your health care. You know, that's what that's going to be. Because
okay.
there was a woman in California, well, it was a guy that was on the news. He said his wife was signed up for the ACA or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it. his wife was signed up without him knowing.
Oh, boy.
And the insurance company racked up some serious numbers with this, and the person that signed her up without them knowing got this huge commission. So it's got to go. I mean, that's only one case.
Yeah.
It's got to go. What was this Ardeen talking about with the feeding the people? What was that all about in rent control? I wanted to hear something about that.
Well, the old folks are not able to afford the living expenses, the rent or whatever, and mm-hmm. some of them are actually on food stamps, according to her. And she's trying to blame Trump for it. She's trying to blame Trump for the shutdown.
She's trying to blame Trump for the
deregulation, for because the communists, which is what she supports, basically, is for rent control and subsidized housing and all that stuff and subsidized food.
Yeah.
And she's justifying because, it's pretty cheap to give food stamps for the rest of us to subsidize people's lives.
She said it was pretty cheap.
Yeah, she said it's only like $40 a person. I don't know.
Oh.
Whatever.
It's 1.5 billion. No, trillion.
Yeah, I think that Trump is making the economy better, and he's getting...
Absolutely.
So don't worry about it.
Well, what this thing that I overheard as I was walking through the house here, she said something about rent control. Now, what did she say about rent control? Because it's not exactly what she's lying. She's another liar. What did she say rent control was? But she had a problem with rent control?
Well, she had a problem with deregulating rent control, meaning getting rid of rent control, I think. Because rent control is not a good thing.
Rent control is not what that dummy thinks it is. Rent control is a lot of different laws. Like if you get a tenant out of your building for a family member, it has to be a direct family member, and you have to move them in. You cannot take somebody out of the unit, tell the city or the county that, well, I'm putting them out for the family unit, and I'm going to put my family member in this unit. All right, you can't say that and then turn around and get a higher tenant. It's also for you can't raise your rent, but about,
yeah, I'm not that 6%. Interested in it, actually.
It's crazy, man. It's she didn't even know what it was. All it is just to not raise it. What is it? The tenant
don't raise it more than 5% per year or something like that. Whatever
that's
the
all
thing
that is.
Is.
That's all.
And
that
also,
is.
And it can't be more than like 2,000 a month
something
or whatever,
like that. Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah,
but that's the government meddling in the stuff when the
private
government
property.
Should be. If the government deported illegals, then housing prices would go down because the demand would go down because we have millions, tens of millions of illegals here, I think.
Yeah, well, 20 million, I think, something like that. So,
what a mess.
She said Trump was a what again? Because they went crazy with this last
time. She tried to call him a pedophile. That's insane.
And not a real man.
Right.
And she would
vote for John Stewart for president.
Your husband, Harpy, listen to this, Ardeen. Your husband ain't a real man because you talk too much. Okay? How about
indeed.
That?
Thank you, William. Yeah. I got to keep
right.
it moving.
Take
it's
care.
Good. All right.
Take care.
Yeah. And Marcus, out of a first-time caller out of Massachusetts. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, going well. Thank you, sir. Oh, you know what? Marcus, hang on, sir. We're going to a break. I'll come right back to you after this break. The treasure chest is allegedly opening up on DLive.tv/Jesse Lee Peterson. And the scratch-offs, allegedly, we're releasing the scratching on Pilled.net/Jesse Lee Peterson. And we'll get to your super chats and calls and maybe even these stories, and I wanted to see if I could get Derek in. Back in a moment, guys. The Jesse Lee Peterson Show.
You can't run from evil within yourself or outside of self. You got to deal with it. And you need good in order to deal with evil. And God is good.
You need to return to the Father, and you'll see within you he will fight the battle for you. And he will fight it without, because he will show you how to deal with it, and you will have no fear. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, along with nothing else. Nothing else means yourself, your children, your wife, your things, your ego, your reputation, and all that. You can't care about any of that. The children of anger will use it to control you. But if you love God, he will renew your mind, and none of those things will be before him. And so when they go after you, oh, well, you may take my body, you may take my things, but you're not going to take my soul. And that's a true reality.
Jesse, 888-775-3773. The Jesse Lee Peterson Show, guest hosted by Hake. Make sure you do catch the Hake Report, if you so please. I'll be live on my show. Be able to take your calls and get to some stories. The Fallen State tomorrow with that priest guy, we have it ready for you. So let's check that out.
Next time on The Fallen State.
Are you a sinner?
Totally. This morning, I got mad at someone. I said a little, you know, choice word.
Did you have your collar on at the time?
I did. Yeah. Makes it even worse.
What, you said earlier that Jesus was God.
He doesn't say the words, I am God, but he says, I am. That's why they wanted to kill him. They considered it blasphemy.
Would you ever follow a woman?
Yes.
Right.
Would you?
No. What, no?
Nice. Sweet. The Jesse Lee Peterson Show. And by the way, do catch Church with Jesse Lee Peterson. I help produce the church stuff on the internet, on the Bond YouTube channel and elsewhere. So catch Church with Jesse Lee Peterson, rebuildingtheman.com/church. Make sure you're doing the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/silent prayer. I'm wearing a cool Stay With It, Stay With It, Stay With It t-shirt. You can get one for yourself, if you so please, by going to jesseleepeterson.shop. jesseleepeterson.shop. Nice. Nice. All right, let me get back to Marcus out of Massachusetts, a first-time caller here, and then we'll keep it moving here. Marcus, thanks for calling and holding, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to speak real quick on the whole concept of food stamps and SNAP benefits and EBT and all that. It's my opinion, and I think it's historically backed up, that this was never really the duty of the government to step in and provide for any of that. In fact, historically speaking, this was always the duty of the church to step in and provide for the needy, the widows, and orphans and people of that nature, where if there was a need, a legitimate need, it was the church that would step in and fulfill that. And it was kind of the church's sacred duty and part of their honor in order to provide that as a service. And I think we stepped away from that as a nation. And personally, I'm very grateful for food stamps and SNAP kind of being closed down during the shutdown, even if it's for a temporary time, because it's allowed people to see exactly what's going on behind the scenes. You know, they were able to put a pause on the money flowing, and now you can take a look and kind of see exactly what's going on, who was getting the money, and who wasn't. And one of the biggest companies that's getting hit really hard right now is Walmart. And I think Walmart was getting so much money from all food stamps and the subsidies.
In bed with the government, subsidized by the government. Wow, interesting, man.
And so now that you don't have that money flowing, a lot of the companies that were relying on those monthly checks coming in to the people, and the money wasn't being used for anything substantial. It was being used for Little Debbie snaps and cupcakes and soda pop. It wasn't being used for, you know, beef, you know, rice, chicken. It wasn't being used for anything.
Oatmeal, canned goods, stuff like real food that lasts. So you have a store in your a pantry in your home filled with what you need, so that you can last for 40 days without having to go to the grocery store if you have to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would ever happen, but I'd love to see an audit done of all the different grocery stores that were receivers of the food stamp benefits during the shutdown time.
Yeah.
What does their books look like now that the money isn't flowing versus 2-3 months ago?
Very interesting, man. You're right. The government has tried to be the mama, the church itself, God, the father, the provider, and it has been very destructive to everybody's thinking. And there's been people going on viral online talking about, oh, I called some churches asking about food stamp, canned goods, or to help me buy something, and they just hung up on me, or they didn't do this, because you can't trust people anymore. And these are right. people who don't even go to the church. So you're gonna help some stranger who's more than likely a scammer. Nobody's actually going hungry in America, starving in America. So it's a big hoax, as Trump rightly put it.
And I think the part of the problem now too, especially if you're trying to call up a church and get some sort of assistance, it's like, okay, where were you a month ago?
Yeah.
You're only showing up once there's a problem.
Right.
Were you already prior connected to that church and to the people that go to the church? Did you already know the pastor beforehand? Or is it only now that once you have a need, now you're showing up?
Yeah. What a mess. And people are really supposed to be taking care of themselves. And then... Yeah. But people have been enabled not to take care of themselves. So what a mess. Thank you, Marcus.
That's part of the plan to destroy America from within.
Yeah, and part of that is like making everything so expensive that you have to be dependent. And so Ardeen is kind of part of that justification of that. What a
mess. To speak on that fact real quick, my brother and I got involved with providing beef for our family and then a couple other families in the community that we're a part of maybe 2-3 years ago. And what's interesting is I can buy an entire cow for about $800, and I had to do the whole process myself. You know, we butchered and slaughtered it. We cut it all up. And we learned the process from a butcher that was local to us. He's a Mennonite butcher. We hired him to teach myself, my brother, and a couple friends how to do it. And at the end of the day, it was like less than $5 a pound is what it came out to, which is excellent prices. I don't anticipate getting those prices again, but I was able to provide like food for my family, like quality food for the next year. And I think like if people got on board with that, like go link up with one or two or three families and go find a farmer, you know, pick out your cow, get involved in the actual process, and then get a freezer. You're going to save more money in the long term, and now you know where your food is coming from. You're not relying on Walmart or these grocery stores.
Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate it, man. Interesting call.
Take care.
All right. You too. It sort of reminds me when this government lapse or whatever shuts down, we saw food stamps and all that stuff is subject to a lot of fraud. Anytime the government is involved and money is involved, there is fraud, shenanigans, taking advantage when you don't deserve it, all kinds of stuff like that. And then there are people who may, quote unquote, need it. But why are we in a situation where they need it? Or why are they in a situation where they need it? How are they living? What a mess, huh? But it reminds me of, you know, parents were sending their children to schools, public and private, that were brainwashing them into all kinds of shenanigan, false beliefs, racism, sexism. The country was founded on slavery and genocide, a bunch of fake news, right? Fake history. And LGBT stuff being taught to them. Well, then the parents realized it because of the shutdowns during the China virus. So there's sometimes things that come along that shake things up, that shine a light, because parents weren't paying attention like they should have been. So right on, right on. Okay, before I get back to your calls, I wanted to present this story here of a woman going reefer mad. A woman was charged with killing her friend. She was, quote unquote, paranoid. That's worse than just paranoid. After smoking weed, Live 5 News reports a pharmacy student from Wisconsin was shot and killed by her friend Tuesday. I don't know when this was actually that took place. Was it this week? Maybe not. Maybe not. Yeah, I guess it might have been this Tuesday. After the friend became paranoid from smoking the marijuana. This is WISN 12 News. Check this out.
Prosecutors filed reckless homicide charges in the murder of a Concordia University pharmacy student. Investigators say Jamaica Mills shot Ariel Spillner in the chest, killing her last Tuesday near 39th and Lancaster. Now, according to a criminal complaint, Mills told police the pair were smoking marijuana when Spillner was going to cut her dog's hair with scissors. Now, prosecutors say that Mills says that she got paranoid Spillner would stab her, so Mills grabbed her gun and shot Spillner once. Prosecutors say Mills then accidentally shot herself.
What took place in that house back here? Only God knows.
Hershey Sebring telling 12 News the woman still in the hospital is her niece. She came to the scene Wednesday looking for answers.
I just couldn't believe that what's going on here. They said they heard a lot of arguing and busting and yelling and screaming, and all of a sudden I heard something like a big old boom.
Knowing that your niece could potentially be a suspect in the shooting, what do you make of that?
If my niece is living, she's going to tell y'all what happened.
My niece is what? She's going to tell y'all what happened. What a mess, huh? Terrible story. And now, like, the good kids, quote-unquote, and I'm using the term kids, the so-called upstanding young responsible people are doing the weed and drugs and all that stuff. Anyway. Who knows? Who knows what really went on? And I wanted to, okay, I have to keep things moving fast, okay? So I don't have a lot of time to elaborate and speculate. I want to bring in Derek, the black producer of the Jason Lee Peterson Show, and talk about the question that gal had for him, as well as this proof, quote unquote, that Jesus is God by debunking a Jehovah's Witness. This is from Testify. Learn how to prove. There we go. Learn how to prove Jesus is God using John 1:3 and a simple napkin illustration. This quick logical method debunks Jehovah's Witness claims showing Jesus as eternal and uncreated. Testify on YouTube, little news report. Check this out. Oh, yeah.
Picture this. A Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door. You answer mid-coffee, and they jump straight into their theology. It's tempting to get flustered or dive into a 10-hour debate about Greek grammar, but you don't have to. With just the back of a napkin or scratch paper, you can make an airtight case that Jesus is God. Here's the crux of their argument. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe Jesus is fully God. They think he's a created being, a kind of divine assistant who helped God create everything else. But John 1:3 blows that theory out of the water, and you're about to show them how. First step, start by drawing a big rectangle on your napkin. Label it everything that exists. Now divide it in half with a line down the middle, and on one side write uncreated things, things that have always existed, basically just God. On the other side write created things, everything God made. The next step, ask your visitor what goes in the uncreated things category. The answer is obvious, only God. He's eternal, uncreated, and self-existent. Then ask, what goes in the created things category? Answer, literally everything else. Trees, animals, stars, you, me. Everything that was made belongs there.
Nice. So, let's unmute Derek here. There you are, I think.
Derek. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're wrong that Jesus is God?
Yeah.
So uncreated means Jesus is... Oh, because
picture this.
John 1,
a Jehovah's Witness knocks on your door.
No.
You answer mid-coffee, and they jump straight...
There. I muted that.
Oh, nice.
I finally figured out which one that is.
Oh. Nice. But yeah, tell
He's
me I'm
playing.
Wrong. I was looking for a video that could talk about how Jesus is God without any scripture. So I was like, all right. I found that video. I was
but
like,
it
okay,
needed,
cool.
but
well,
that
actually,
needed,
that, there was scripture in there.
Yeah, because it needs John 1:3. What's John 1:3?
But the napkin, you know, kind of helped out. That's kind of why.
That's funny.
I like the video.
All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. Let's see. If I go over to King James Bible,
oh, yeah.
right? Because we're
KJV.
You guys are KJV only, and I'll allow it for the moment.
Thank
in the
you.
Beginning was the Word, a capital W Word. Interesting word, huh?
And the word
was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, God. And without him, God, nothing was made that was made. So let's talk about God. Okay. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Nice.
Okay. Do you believe me now that Jesus is God?
No, that's a jumping to conclusions thing. That's an interpretation.
Did you not like the napkin?
The napkin
example?
Is cute,
yeah.
But I don't know if they're say like the Son of God, right?
Okay.
The intellectuals try to say begotten means he wasn't created because he was begotten.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense.
Well, Genesis mentions Jesus being the Word. And we know it's Jesus because the
Genesis
Word became
does?
Flesh. Yeah.
Or Genesis doesn't mention Jesus.
And the Word was with God.
No, this is John.
Oh, and I was talking about Genesis, but yeah, John. And are you talking about chapter 1, verse 8?
Chapter 1, verse 8. He was...
What were you talking about with John?
Oh, because John 1, 3. All things were made by him, which is God.
Okay.
And without him was not anything made that was made. So some people are saying Jesus, meaning the Son of God.
Yeah.
He wasn't called Jesus at that point yet. Was
the Word technically,
I guess. Was working with God to create that stuff, or God was making that stuff?
So God's, how I'm seeing it is God is all one. So it's like, however they're designing it, they're doing it all at once.
You're calling God a they?
Well, they.
Are they them?
I'm saying this for conversation purposes.
Okay.
Let's
call God a him.
So
can we call God a him?
Yeah, we can call God a him. Yeah, so.
Oh, is he loud enough? Okay.
Thanks.
I had turned you
now
down.
I'm loud and proud.
He's blasting my
Pause.
Ears. Okay, nice.
Pause, but yeah. That and also I always run back to this scripture where God refers to Jesus as God.
Oh, God said to my God, something like that?
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8.
But people are called God in the Bible.
Let me see.
God even called the judges gods. Did you notice that God called the judges gods? I have said ye are gods.
You got to show me that.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Oh, so Jesus said it.
Okay, here it is. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.
Nice. Right.
O God.
Right. But he's not the God, just a God over that.
But wait. Even before we get into that, we could also talk about why the Jews told the Romans to kill Jesus or convinced them to kill Jesus.
Because they were jealous.
Because he claimed to be God.
Nuh-uh. Because they interpreted him as having claimed to be God.
He said, before Abraham, I am.
Right.
Right.
And then they said, and they said, you are claiming to be God, son, making you God. And no, he said, no, I said, I'm the son of God. And he said, is it not written in your books? And the scripture cannot be broken. I have said ye are gods. So that was his response to them.
Wait.
So God's called judges gods.
Oh, God, you're saying the judges are gods too. So yeah. They're gods. So you're saying the term God is.
Yeah, the term God sort is used a little bit loosely over there.
Loosely. Yeah. No. That's the thing is, they killed him. And we can look at the Hebrew lexicon for this, and we'd have to get somebody who speaks Hebrew to kind of flesh this out. And I've seen some evidence on this, but that scripture right there, the word that they use when God the Father refers to Jesus, God the Son. You know,
the Son of God.
The Son of God. Was referring to him as God.
Why do they
God?
Call him the Son of God rather than the Son of the Father?
There's I was going to say there's a specific word. It's a Hebrew word that he's using right there that I'm studying more, but
okay.
It's a specific word that is only used for God, like God the Father. I think it's sort of like that.
Yeah.
And I guess I wouldn't say Hebrew Israelite can explain that because But I'm telling
you. Did you hear
you
John from Kentucky say that you sound like an Israelite?
Yeah, I heard that and I thought that was insane.
No, you should have taken that as a compliment.
I mean, I don't know, because I was listening to the conversation and it kind of sounded like he was saying that we still commit sins.
Right.
Or something like that. It's like I was basically saying that, but the thing about that is the main point I was trying to get home is that the Bible is just revealing sin unto you so that nobody can say they're just righteous and perfect, but because, you know, people get prideful and they say, oh, I haven't done anything
when you're not
bad.
Paying attention to your life, you end up, a lot of stuff slips by you.
Yeah. So even though I don't agree 100% with the Hebrew Israelites at all, I mean, we could talk about that later, but from what I was listening to, it was sort of making it seem like, I guess, sin in some weird way is you committing that sin of adultery and things like that are going to send you to hell.
So
basically, that's kind of what I was.
Let me read a couple of super chats. Yeah. Let me read a couple of super chats as we wrap up here, because we're going to end here soon. And callers will get, you can call back for the Hake Report if we don't get to you. But over on Buy Me a Coffee, N Heat says, so grateful when reminded, love covers a multitude of sin. 1 Peter 4:8, # shout out. Speaking emoji.
Facts.
Nice, yeah.
There's no sin that you commit that's bigger than God.
Eric, 5 coffees. A child of God cannot sin. It's impossible. There's only one choice: to give up anger/thinking and see you're not in control of anything. Sin is playing God, believing, this is a quote, believing you know right from wrong, the evil, anger, in the heart of human beings operating through them. Attributed to JLP.
Facts.
And Nikki says, question for Derek. You speak of scripture so beautifully and with such devotion. Do you think someone can truly come to know God without ever reading the Bible?
Now, me and JLP differ on this. I don't think so.
So you don't think doesn't the Bible say that people followed the law of their hearts?
Yeah, they do follow the law of their hearts.
But
their hearts are wicked, though.
No, I know, but they actually followed the real law of their hearts.
Yeah, but that's so...
Having never heard anything.
Yeah, but that's so, like, arbitrary. It's like...
What do you mean arbitrary?
It's sort of like...
But the Bible says that there's people who never heard it, but they... Because God is in all of... God made all of us.
Yeah.
And he put his...
That's the thing, though. It's like, when you say, all right, I'm following...
I'm not saying now that we have access to the Bible, we ought to read it, right?
Yeah, but, we can read it, but it's just in order to really know God, you've got to read his word and study it day and night, basically.
Okay.
You know, even though, you know, you won't go to hell if you don't read the entire Bible. The thing is if you want to, you know more about God, you've got to learn his word and find out what sin is. And it's just like the Bible is going to reveal sin unto you. You know,
I got you, man.
So that
a couple more super chats. So, yeah. Only love matters. I've never seen a Mexican midget. Love Karen. Carrot. Farmer girl. Black. Seabill says, please ask Ardeen if she is the man of the house. Laughing face with tears coming out. Brutal.
We still love her.
Yeah, indeed. If we love anybody. If we don't love, then we don't love Ardeen, and that's not right. It's like she doesn't love Trump.
Yeah.
She's slandering him. She's reviling him. That's not right.
You gotta love Trump.
And thank you, guys. This has been the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, guest hosted by Hake, guest board operated by Bill the Engineer, who's co-host of Punchy TV, and produced by Derek the Black Engineer. Thank you guys for joining. Much appreciated. Jesse should be back. And callers, Jaime in Minnesota and the rest of the callers, we could not get to you. The Hake Report, coming up next, guys. Peace. Oh, no, I can't say peace. Peace is my word. Peace in the Middle East, or at least in your hearts.
Say, what does he say?
He says, do the silent prayer, forgive, stay present, stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. RebuildingTheMan.com/silent prayer. Support Bond. RebuildingTheMan.com/donate. You can call Bond, 1-800-411-BOND, 1-800-411-2663 to donate and call in for counseling. You can call in and schedule a counseling appointment by phone, by Zoom, or in person. Join us for church. And women's forum might be next week, huh? Not today. I don't know. Whatever. Take care, all. Bye. Know that self so you can. Something went wrong, but face the truth about yourself and just see first God's kingdom curse. The views, information, attitudes, and things heard here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show do not represent Jesse Lee Peterson, Bond, The Fallen State, Anchor Baby, Derek, Hake, or anything. No endorsement or opposition is implied. This is for general information and entertainment only. Some of the info may be false. And, nice, so relax. Disclaimer. All right, can you play a commercial real quick?
I have books that are amazing. I highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success. Guy, even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. And blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663.
Like, my cousin